This poor Talmud Chacham doesn't have any life. I'm helping him out. I'm helping Torah. That is wrong. You are not a benefactor of Torah. Torah is the benefactor. See? But Talmud, a Talmud is different. Because a real Talmud knows he can never be a benefactor. He recognizes and understands what Torah is to the point where he realizes that no matter what he could ever do in the physical way, he can never begin to be a benefactor to repay the what he has, because he recognizes the true value of Torah. So he's not a benefactor. That's the truth. Brisky wasn't telling Revel Brisky, he wouldn't be an innocent to send Revel away on vacation. Doesn't mean that. No, but it means in the Shachrina means an outsider. That's what it means. There's a Gemara that says, I think it's from Psachim, that says that a person has a balabas, the Gemara says, has the highest respect for a Talmud Chacham. He says, and the moment the Talmud Chacham is nena from him, he loses it. Because he's the benefactor. That's what's wrong. We're going to take the Rambam, explain this more at length. And I think, rather than wait till we get to Perek Dalet, it'll be a long time, I think we should take it up right away, because this follows straight through. Risky yeshiva, they used to say that they don't take money from everybody. They only take from certain people. See? Yeah, why? What is it? Why? Alright, what it means, I guess, they didn't just take from Talmidim, but the point is, you know, this is something which is subject to variation of degree. Yeah, you could take from a person at the Tot Lamar, so he really thinks he's a tremendous benefactor. That's no good. Okay? They would only take from people that are recognition of Torah. Okay. We're going to take the Rambam, who explains this whole principle much more fully, in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey. The Rambam. I want you to know that it's the Rambam. Well, you see from the Rambam himself. He says like this: Acharei asher eskamti shlo adaber bezos atzavoy. He says, after I decided I'm not going to speak about this area. Midnei shehimu vu eres. Because it's very clear, he says, and also according to my mind, that whatever I will say in this area will not be favorable to most of the Chachmei HaTorah, the Gedolim. Most of the Gedolei Chachmei HaTorah will not appreciate what I have to say. And maybe even all of them. Naturally, he says, then I changed my mind. So first decided I wasn't going to talk about it. He says, I changed my mind. And I decided I'm not going to care about people who were earlier scholars or present scholars. Now he starts to talk about it. He says like this. He says, you should know that which the Torah says, that you're not permitted to use the Torah as an axe, or as a shovel, to dig with it, he says it means you're not allowed to consider it. Consider it a vessel, a vehicle, by which you earn a livelihood. And it says any person who enjoys in this world from the honor of Torah, he removes himself from the Chayei Olam, removes his life from the world. Which of course means the eternal world, the world to come. Now he says like this. He says, and people have made a lot of mistakes with regard to this maimah, and they threw it in back of them, which means, you know, they didn't care about it. He says, and they depended themselves upon certain interpretations that they didn't understand. And I will explain it. He says they established taxes, chukim, established set fees, chukah, al yechidim, on individuals and on congregations, and they brought people to believe in something which is totally erroneous, that they are obligated to follow these taxes that they've established. All right? Now, what they used to do was, it wasn't like today, where you ask people for donations, but in the times of the Rambam, they had a better method. The method was that they simply assessed individuals. They went over to the person, they said, look, you earn $250,000 a year, you will give X amount of dollars to the yeshiva. Give X amount of dollars to the shul. And that's it. If the person refused, so he was simply removed from the society, and if he wanted to live as a loner and forfeit any type of social intercourse, so he could do so, but it usually wasn't worth it. So the people had to pay. Most people believe that socialism, which is obligatory. He says, and v'roy, and it is fitting that people should assist chachomim, they should assist the Talmidei Chachomim and their students, and the people who are studying Torah, and the people whose whole lives is Torah. He says that was the idea that they presented. All right, they presented the idea that people are mechuyev to help those people who study Torah and the Talmidim of Torah and those people whose lives Tarasam Nasam means they learn Torah day and night. They taught people that this is what you're supposed to do, and this is all a mistake. The Zakal Tos is all a mistake. He says, and it's not found in the Torah nor in any of the Chachamim a word that will verify this, and not even a foot to lean on at all. Okay? When we really look at the words of the rabbis, at the words of the Chazal, the words of the rabbis of the Talmud, he says, we do not find that they searched or they requested money from people, and they did not gather any money for yeshivas, for the great yeshivas that they had, and not for the Rosh Golius, the Exilarch, not for the judges, and not for those who are Marbet Star, and not for any of the Golem, and not for any people of the nation, other people who study Torah. He says, but we find in every generation, in all their communities, that there were those that were poor at the height of poverty, and wealthy, the greatest wealth. And it would be forbidden for me to think or to suspect those generations that they weren't kind and generous people, and that they wouldn't give tzedakah. Because this poor person, if he would have stretched out his hand to take the money that they would give him, he said they'd fill his house with gold and with valuable jewels. But he didn't want to do it. He said, what did he do? He said the man was mistapek b'melachta. The man was satisfied himself with his panasa, with his malacha, what he did. Shehim is panis ba, in berevach and bedochek. If he made a lot of money, if he made a little bit of money. And voya boz lemasha bidei adam. And he would frown, look down upon that which people had, because the Torah prevented him from doing that. And you already know that Hillel HaZaken was a woodchopper, and he learned under Shmaya and Avtalion. Studied under Shmaya and Avtalion. And he was poverty stricken. And Umay Lasso I saw, Kashe Yadai, and you know how great he was, just like you know from his Talmidim. His Talmidim were considered like where the Gemara compares them, Nimshal, like a Mashal, Kimoshe and Aaron, Yeshua. And the smallest of his Talmidim was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Gemara says how great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was, that there wasn't anything he didn't know, the areas that he knew, metaphysics, everything. Vein Savul Maskil. And there's no doubt to anyone that has any sense that if Hillel would have taught the people of his generations, that of his generation, that they should help him out, they should gain support from them, that they would never allow him to be a woodchopper. And Reb Chanina ben Dosa, that a Basco went out about him and said, Kol ha'olam kulo ein nozen ela b'shvil Chanina b'ni, that the Basco said that the whole world is supported because of my son. God says the whole world supported because of my son Chanina. The Chanina b'ni dailo b'kaf charuv in the erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. And my son Chanina, he eats a buxa. From that's all he eats always. That's all he eats from one Shabbos to the next. He hardly had any food. And v'loho yemavakesh mibnei adam. He did not want people to help him. The Kana. Kana was a great dayan, a judge. Baritz Yisrael, he was a great giant in Israel. V'hu havedoli dola, and his job was that he used to draw water from the well. You see, and when the people came, the litigants came in front of him, and they said they wanted him to judge the case. He said, "Give me somebody that should take my place. Get me somebody that should take my place to draw the water." He says, "Oh, tenuli, or else give me the amount of money that I would have earned drawing the water from the well, and then I'll be able to judge the case for you." He says, "And the Jews in those days were not vicious. They were not mean. They weren't indifferent to these gedolim." And they weren't not gomle chasadim. And we don't find any gadol hador in those days that speaks disparagingly about the people of his generation, because they didn't make him wealthy. Chalil alahem, avalheim ba'atzmam hoyu chasidim ma'aminim ha'emes la'atzmam. These were true great people who knew the truth to them themselves, and they believed in God and Torah Moshe, through which a person can receive the world to come, and they would not permit themselves to take money from people, because they considered taking money a chilul Hashem. That's what he says. A chilul Hashem in the eyes of the masses. Why? Because people will consider Torah a profession, just like any other profession, that a person can live by it and support himself. And once they consider Torah a profession, it will become degraded in their eyes. And any person who would do such a thing, they would consider him to violate the pasuk that says, the word of God he has degraded. Dvar Hashem Bozo. Okay? Now he says, oh, you understand? That's what I told you. Okay. Yeah. Why is it a degradation if Torah is considered a profession? What's the degradation? That's Chilul Hashem. Why is it a degradation? Because a profession is something that a person does for ulterior motives. He does it because he wants to gain money. Right? And Torah is not something which can be done for any other purpose. So the Gedolim of that generation considered it a terrible thing to do. Because if people would think that Torah is a profession, people will see the Torah, the professors are Gedol the Torah, the man's a wealthy man. So they'll say, look, I mean, why should I go out and become a doctor or a lawyer? I mean, become a Talmud Chacham. That's the greatest profession. You see, because the Rambam says that the people they would have made them wealthy without any question. Of course, it would mean that Torah is not something that's done for its inherent value. How can you demonstrate? And on the contrary, the other way is the Kiddush Hashem. What is the Kiddush Hashem? To demonstrate to people that Torah is done for only one purpose. You see? Not done. There is no ulterior motive involved in the pursuit of Torah. Torah is only done for one purpose. That's what the Rambam says. Right? However, he says those people became very powerful who argued on the truth and on the psukim of the Torah. And on the psukim of the Torah, which in the literal form, when they took money from people either willingly or against their will, found in the Gemara from certain cases people who did take money. You see, people who were physically impaired, balei mumin, or people who were very old. They were very old, they couldn't do any work anymore. He says that the only way they could survive is by taking money from others. He says, and if not, what could they do? Are they supposed to die? Are they supposed to die? This the Torah did not command. See? Find that this is true from the way the Chazal quote the Psukim. They say that Pasuk Hoisek Ani Esochem Imerchak Tovi Lachma. That the they say that a person became like an individual who received schar, received business from a distant place, happened to receive money. They said the Balmum Sheni Yochel Lasos Malacha. And speaking about a person is impaired, physically impaired, he can't do any work. See, but Avolim Hayecholas Lohintzu Elov Atara Derech. But a person who has the ability, the Torah did not allow him to receive any financial support. That's like this. Then the Rambam goes on. The Rambam is very lengthy about this. You can remember it's a couple of lines over here. He goes, very lengthy. Rav Yosef, he says, was this one a story? I told you a story one. Rav Yosef would carry wood from one place to another, menial labor, and he would say, Gedola Malacha. Malacha is really great. Because Mechamem is Bailaha. It makes the one who's doing it warm. Warms his body. On the contrary, rather than complaining about it, he found something, he found that he looked for the good in it. Ratzaloma and Tarachevarach. Kibalicha Eitzim. When he carried the heavy wood, so physically he became warm from the exercise. He says, and he would praise God, and he was very happy that he was able to gain benefit from what God gave him. Okay? He says, and I heard the crazy people who are confused, who depend themselves upon proofs that they bring when they say, Harotza lehanes, Chazal say a person that wants to gain benefit can gain benefit, like Elisha, and a person who doesn't want to gain benefit should not, like Shmuel, which means it's in your hands. If you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you want to. So yes, the Zayin Adamo Lazer, Hashem Evim Klal. Why? This has nothing to do with the proof they bring, has nothing to do with it. But the big mistake that they're making, that they bring it from this raya, is clear. And there is no place that a person could make an error. Why? Because Elisha did not accept any money from people. Certainly he wasn't looking for it from them. And he did not establish for them any fixed, regulated taxes that they should pay. Chalil of Hashem. However, he mekabel kavod levad kishayim ma'achseno sa'odom ba'ovro alav lios b'bayis etzlo v'yochal lachmo balaylahu abayomahu v'yoshav liskav. He says the only thing he would accept, the Gemara says, a person that wants to receive, this is the right they bring. The Gemara says, if a person wants to receive money, so he could do it like Elisha. If he doesn't want to, he shouldn't do it like Shmuel, wouldn't take anything. So they say, oh, you see, you're allowed to. He says, no, he says, you're not looking at what Chazal say. They say you should do it like Elisha. What did Elisha do? Elisha, the only thing he did was when he went to somebody's house, so he would eat that night, he'd have a meal over there. That was it. You see? That's what Chazal means. And he wouldn't, Prophet Shmuel would not go into the guy's house. He wouldn't eat there. You see? And this is what Chazal says, Shetam Chochem, Sheyitzli Damos Bezeh, Achilo Yikonis Labayis Adam, the person does not want to go into another person's house. If the Tam Chochem wants to do that, he can do it. It means to say that he has a right to do that, even though those people will say, politically, I mean, it's not good because it's no, he has a right to do it. However, if he wants to do it, he can do it. Either way, it depends on his own perfection, what he thinks is right to do for himself at the time. Okay? Then Yitzchak says, Adam Avraham, the Torah tells the Rosh Hashanah, Neshe cries, Hiru Milechol Eitzel Kol Adam, Shalom Tzarek, Vom Tam Chacham Amar Besudasa B'chol Makom, a Tam Chacham that goes to all these places, he goes to all kinds of dinners to eat and to gain publicity, is a bad thing. Kol Sur Shein Shal Mitzvah Sol Tam Chacham L'Hazmer. Okay. So now why should I go, there's no reason for me to add any further in this, to speak any further about this. However, I am going to tell you a story that's found in the Gemara. Alright? Let me tell you a story. Now here's a story. And that is like this. There was a person, there was an individual that had a vineyard. And what happened was that thieves would enter this vineyard. They'd steal. And every time he saw them, every day, right? Every time he visited the vineyard every day, so he found that his fruit, his produce was diminishing. And he wasn't in doubt that somebody was stealing it. He knew that somebody was stealing his the grapes. So what he did with this, and it bothered him very much. It bothered him very much during the time, this was during the time of the harvest, right? And then what he did was, he dried them out. He made raisins out of them. Grapes, made raisins out of them. And he gathered together the raisins. And what happens is that when people, usually when they gather the raisins, some of them fall down. And some of them fall down on the ground. When they dry the raisins or they dry the figs, so some of them fall down on the ground. He says, and you're allowed to eat those things. You're walking by a farm and you see those raisins on the ground or those figs, you're permitted to eat them. He says, why? Because they're hefka. We think of our paskin as hefka. They say that it's an assumption, a legal assumption, that the person is not going to, the farmer is not going to come back and pick up those little raisins that fell on the ground, because it's not worth his while. So if you're walking by and you see them, there's not an issue of ganeva teeth. You might eat them. Okay. That's like this. Now he says, okay. Now, Rab Tarfin, it just so happened that Rab Tarfin one day happened to be walking by this vineyard, you see, and he sat down and he took some of the raisins that fell down and he was eating them. Now the owner of the vineyard thought that this was the thief that was stealing from him all year long. And he didn't recognize Rab Tarfin. See? Didn't recognize. So, but he knew the name Rab Tarfin. He was familiar. He heard Rab Tarfin. He knew the name, but he didn't recognize the man. He didn't know who he was. He just heard his name. He was a famous person. But he didn't know this is the man. They didn't have pictures in those days. He never saw him before. Okay. So, immediately, this farmer jumped on him, grabbed him, and he put him in a sack. See? That's been a strong fella. And he put him on his back. Carried him on his back. Don't start up with a big farmer. And he wanted to throw him into the river. He's going to throw him into the river and drown him. So when Rab Tarfin saw, and he actually couldn't see it, but when Rab Tarfin realized what was happening, he screamed and he said, woe unto Tarfin that this guy killed him. Just said it loud enough so you should hear it. And when the owner of the vineyard heard this, He dropped the sack and he ran away. And he ran away because he thought to himself that he did a terrible sin. He couldn't even face him. He just ran away. Now the Gemara says that Rav Tarfon from that day on was very sad, very upset. Always bothered him. From that day on to the rest, throughout the rest of his life, it bothered him, and he used to always, mourn. He always mourned the incident, whatever that happened to him. Why? Because he saved himself with the Kavra Torah. See? Right. He saved himself with the Kavra Torah. So, yeah.
What do you mean, wait? I was going to kill him.
He saved himself by saying, "Woe unto this man who killed Rav Tarfon." The man had Rav Tarfon drunk. So he says he should never have used the crown of Torah. So the Gemara says, but what should he have done? No, he had a right to eat it. He didn't know, because it's Tefka. But what should he have done? The Gemara says, if it's a matter of life and death, he has a right to do it. He's not supposed to die. He's not supposed to kill himself. So why? What was he done? The Gemara says, because Rav Tarfon was a very wealthy man. And Rav Tarfon should have tried to pay him off with money. You see? Instead of saying that woe unto the man who killed Tarfon. That's what he says. That's why he was sick afterwards. Because he should have, at the time, he shouldn't have said that he's a Tarfon. He should have said, look, I'll pay you $1,000, pay $1,000, whatever you want, I'll pay you. The man would have said, fine. You'd rather have the money than kill him. What is he going to gain by killing a Tarfon in the river? You see? So because he didn't think to use the money, and instead he used his name, so that's why for the rest of his life, he was always upset about that incident, always bothered. Same thing happened was when Rabbeinu Yehuda Nasi, Olava Shalom, he opened up. There was a time of hunger. There wasn't much food, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, "Anyone that wants to come and take his panasa, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was very wealthy. So anyone that wants to come and take his panasa from what I'm leaving for him, I'm leaving out for him, he can come and take it, as long as he's a tamachah." That's what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said. See? Now, Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram came and stood before him, and he didn't recognize him. So he said to him, he says, Rebbe, he went to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he says, Rebbe Parnaseini, he says, give me food to support myself. So he said to him, he said, Koris, did you learn Torah? Did you learn the Torah Shabbat? He said, no, I didn't learn it. Shonis, did you learn Torah Shabbat? He said, no. So he said to him, he says, with what should I support you? Why should I support you? So he said to him, he says, support me like a dog and like a raven. Like a dog and like a raven. Ratzalomar, he said, like, he needs to say like this. Even though I don't have any knowledge, he said to him, he said, just like God supports every animal that lives, he says, an oaf tame, he's a raven, which is treif. He says, an ignoramus isn't any worse than that. So he gave him. After that, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had second thoughts. He was sorry. He said, this guy talked me into it. He says, woe unto me that an Amoritz enjoyed my nechassim. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, he was sorry that he let this guy convince him. So he said, woe unto me that an Amoritz, I'm supporting an Amoritz, he said. So they told him, they said, the ones that heard told him, they said, maybe that was your Talmud, Yonasan ben Amram. he says, that didn't want to utilize the honor of Torah when he could avoid it, and even through trickery. And he went and he looked into the case and he found that's the way it was. See? Interesting thing, huh? Yeah. Okay. Now he says like this. Yeah, actually, the second story, the second incident, really, with Yudha Nasi, question is, that how could Yudha Nasi do it? See? There's no issa. There's no issa for a person to say. There's no issa for Yudha Nasi to do that. To say that anyone's Talmud Chacham could come and I'll support a Talmud Chacham. No issa for him to do it. No, he can't say that either, because then how could he do it? How could Yudha Nasi say anyone that's learned can come and to me and I will support them? I mean, if that's the case, that a person has to give his credentials, he asked him. He said, did you learn? So if the guy would have said yes, he said, okay. So apparently there wouldn't be any issa really to do it in that case. But what the Rambam's showing you is that the Midas Chassidus of Chazal was that how they tried to avoid it. See? How they tried to avoid it. That's what he's showing. He's showing you what he's showing you is the Midas Chassidus. Actually, there was no issa in that case. No issa for a person to talk to say, look, I want to support the Midas Chassidus. And then somebody, and then if he wants to do it, there's no issa for the person to come in. Otherwise, how could Rabbi Yudha Nasi do it? Otherwise, how could Rabbi Yudha Nasi do it? Okay. Really, if Rabbi Yudha Nasi was allowed to do it, so why? So what's the difference between the cases before, where Hillel wouldn't accept, or the other ones wouldn't accept any money from the people? So how could anyone come to Rabbi Yudha Nasi and say to him, I'm a Talmud Chacham, I'll accept your support? What? By Rabbi Yudha Nasi was different. That's what we said before. That the by a Talmud, like by Talmud in Shachrin Allah, doesn't only mean Talmud. Does not only mean Talmud. It means a person who's makir what Torah really is. See? That's what it means. But still, in all, it was midas chassidus that the on the part of this individual. So this will get into why what was it? What kind of midas chassidus is that? And if it's mutter, it's mutter. Apparently, it's mutter. Okay. Now the Rambam says this: ubeis a ma'isim ma'ila, and these two incidents, these two stories that Chazal tell us, he says, will quiet any individual who wants to argue in this area. He says, however, the things that the Torah did permit for the Talmud Chacham. What did the Torah? What actually is mutter for Talmud Chacham? He says, and that is that they're allowed to give their money to somebody to do business with them. He says, the businessman earns, he can give completely to the Talmud Chacham if he wants to. He says, and a person who does such a thing has a tremendous reward. To Gemara Pesachim, the Zel Matil Maloi Lekis Shel Talmud Chacham. Gemara says in Pesachim, what is it? It's called Matil Maloi Lekis Talmud Chacham Zeicha VeYeshiv VeYeshiva Shel Ma'ilash. Now we get Talmud Chacham Vatzelach Kesef. So that he has a right to do. Because that the person, the individual who does the business for the Talmud Chacham has a tremendous chus, and the Talmud Chacham has a right to be nena. Why is that different? And why is it different? Because he gave him the money. Exactly. He gave him the money. In other words, the man is doing business anyways. So the Talmud Chacham he can't really feel that he is a benefactor. See? Because it's the Talmud Chacham's money. So what? I mean, just to viciously not let the Talmud Chacham make money, that's Tama Russia. See? But he can't feel that he benefited him because he didn't give from his own money. You know what I mean? The Talmud Chacham gave him the money, gave him the principal, and he made the investment. And he gave him a return. What does it cost him? He didn't do anything. He can't walk away and feel that he was really a benefactor. The real person who feels a benefactor is when he gives the money that he earns himself. See, the whole idea is that this psychological phenomena of being a benefactor of Torah should not exist. That's the country. Okay. The thing is that the Talmud Chacham is allowed to sell his schorah before anybody else. And when they opened the marketplace, what they used to do was, when they'd open the marketplace, what they would do was, they would allow the Talmud Chacham to sell his stock first. See? Yeah. And also that the Talmud Chacham could buy first. Yes, first choice. That's what they let the Talmud Chacham do. These are the things that God established for the Talmud Chacham. Just like he established the Matanos for the Kohen and the Maestros for the Levi. Why? Because these things, the Rambam says, why is this permissible? Because these things businessmen do for each other also. Who they want to favor. You see? And even though they do it for people who are their friends, even though they're not Talmid Chacham, he says that Talmid Chacham should at least be as valuable as a respectable Amoritz. And also he says, the Torah removes from the Talmud Chacham any type of taxes that they have to pay the government and money for the army and money that individual, like income tax, headcount tax, income tax, different types of taxes he's talking about over here. He says what the Kohel is supposed to pay for them. They should pay the income tax Talmud Chacham. See that? And also, anything that's necessary to build the city, fortify the city. He says, and even if the Talmud Chacham was a wealthy man, yep, he doesn't have to pay a penny of these taxes. Because this is what the Torah gave the Talmud Chacham. Insofar as the Talmud Chacham, he's potter. It has nothing to do with the situation. He could be a millionaire. You have to pay his tax. So even if you could be a poor person, you have to contribute to pay his tax, because as a Talmud Chacham, that's what he deserves. And Rabbi Yosef Alevi Zal says, they were talking about a person that was very wealthy. The man owned tremendous spreads of vineyards, and in those days, agricultural society was very wealthy agriculturally. And they said he has to pay thousands of dollars taxes on what he owns. And Rabbi Yosef Alevi said he doesn't have to pay anything. Why? Because he was a Talmud Chacham. And even though the ones who contributed to that tax were poor people, poverty stricken, this is the halacha of the Torah. Just like the Torah exempted the Kohanim from paying the Machzis HaShekel. That's the end of the Rambam. Fantastic Rambam. You know how many ideas there are in the Rambam with regard to this situation of money, of taking money. Mentioned already is essentially, I see in this Rambam three ideas. Okay? One idea I see actually is Chilul Hashem. But Chilul Hashem comes under two headings. There are two forms of the Chilul Hashem. One form to the Chilul Hashem is that people should think that they're benefactors of Torah. See? That's one. That's the Talmud in the Shecherin Allah. Okay? The next thing is, the Rambam speaks largely in terms of Chilul Hashem. The second thing that the Rambam talks about is what people will think. That people will think that Torah is just another profession. That's also Chilul Hashem. The Torah is just not a profession. Those are two main ideas in the Rambam. Two main ideas in the Rambam. Yeah. There is, however, that really, you see, that was the Rambam up to where? Up to where? Up till the point where he started with the stories. See? Up to the point where he started with the stories. From the stories on, there's another idea. What's the other idea in the stories on? See? Remember, there's another idea from the stories on. Because the story of Reb Tarfon that he mentioned, where Reb Tarfon was in a sack, really didn't have to do with this same idea of Chilul Hashem that he was talking about before. What's a Chilul Hashem? What? He's going to think he's benefited Reb Tarfon. Why? Because they didn't kill him. I mean, that's a different thing altogether. Or the case of the Talmud, where the Talmud didn't want to say that he was a... That's not... That's, we said it's not us, of course. The Vida Nasi has a right to do that. The Vida Nasi is a Talmud Chacham, and anybody's allowed to go and take from the Vida Nasi. If the Vida Nasi opens the doors and says, any Talmud Chacham come and take, I'm supporting some of the Chacham, he has a right to do it. And the Talmud Chacham has a right to come, otherwise the Vida Nasi wouldn't be allowed to do it. But what do you see? What do you see from that? What do you see from those two stories? Why did Ram bring the two stories? What do you want to add to his presentation over here? Yes. The reason why there are certain ways is because there's something else over here. You see? With the Ishtamesh Betaga Chola. The Ishtamesh Betaga Chola. See? What does it mean, the Ishtamesh Betaga Chola? There's two things over here. One is... Things like this. There are two considerations. There's a consideration insofar as society is concerned, the Chilul Hashem as far as society is concerned. Then there's also a personal consideration. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi opened up the doors for any Talmud Chacham to take, there was no issur. There was no, that's not Chilul Hashem. What kind of Chilul Hashem? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi thinks he's better for the Torah. It's impossible. So what is the, why did this particular Talmud refuse to take? Why? Because there's another Isser in the Ishtamesh B'Tag HaChalaf. What's the Isser? The Isser is, you see, what is wrong really? Let's understand, what's wrong with the Ishtamesh B'Tag HaChalaf? Let's say a person is a psychologist. So, because he earns a living as a psychologist, does that mean he doesn't respect psychology? He doesn't value the knowledge that he has from psychology? So, why not? Why not? So what's really wrong with the person making a profession out of Torah? It's a profession, but he respects it. He loses respect for Torah because it's a profession. What's the answer? The answer is impossible to avoid. The moment a person gains a material benefit from Torah, it's impossible for him to feel that Torah has a value. An exchange value. Now, the moment that happens, then he's destroyed himself. You see, because he has taken Torah, which is priceless and is in a totally different sphere, and he's reduced it to the level of a commodity, which is in exchange for a mundane, a physical object. See? That impression is a dangerous impression for a person's soul. So really, with the Ishtamesh B'Tag HaChalaf is on two levels. On one level, it's on a societal level. You have to have a consideration, concern for society. That's Chilul Hashem. And that expresses itself in two forms. In terms of somebody being a benefactor of Torah, and also people thinking that Torah is a profession. Those two expressions come under the societal damage that can be brought about through Yishtamesh B'Tagah. But there's a personal damage. What's the personal damage? That he feels that, hey, it came in handy. Torah came in handy. I used it for made some money out of it. It's not bad. That is a distortion of the soul. That's a destruction of the soul. That thought is a destruction. That feeling is, because at that moment, what he's done is he's converted the highest good, is converted to the lowest. Just like A person who thinks, the Rambam says, that he's learning Torah because an Olam HaBa is going to get paid back with something better. You see? That's the same idea. He's reducing Torah to a level where it's used as a medium. It's not a medium, it's the end goal. This is the highest value. Now, why didn't that? That's why that Talmud didn't want to do it. He said, Rebbe Parnaseini Kekelev Uka'orev. Why? Because he felt that if he uses it, he knew himself, he'll not be able to escape that emotion. He'll sense that he exchanged Torah for something. And he didn't want to destroy himself. So he wouldn't take it. See? And that was the same thing with Reb Tarfon. What did Reb Tarfon do was so terrible? On a societal level, he didn't do anything terrible. You see? But Reb Tarfon says, Kol Yom Avayim et Stair. The rest of his life, it always plagued him. Stair Misabel, it plagued him. What plagued him? He felt that somehow or other, it left an impression on him. See? And it took away the pure appreciation of Torah from his life. And that's why I was always upset about it. You see how aware Chazal were of a subtle influence in a person's life. That's why the Rambam made those two stories. The first part of the Rambam deals with the societal damage, and the second with the personal damage. See? Mishtamish B'Tagai Cholof is on two levels. You're right. Using the ability in the marketplace, one second, using the ability in the marketplace or the other things, the Rambam's only discussing what? Societal level. There would be no isser if the Talmud Chacham didn't want to do it because he felt that it's going to damage him. There'd be no isser to refrain from doing that. You see, the halacha is in terms of the societal situation. That's the halacha. You can't make a halacha in terms of the personal. Every person's different. If the Talmud, for instance, Rebbe, he opened the door. If the Talmud, for instance, Rebbe, he opened the doors for people to Talmud Chacham to come. Plenty of Talmid Chacham came, Gedolei Yisrael. We're not talking about the babies, we're talking about Gedolei Yisrael. So the Ridonosis Talmidim are the ones the establishing the Mishnayos, greatest Talmid Chacham in the world. They came. Why? Because they didn't feel there's nothing wrong, there was no damage on a societal level, and they didn't feel personally that's going to affect them. But this one Talmud did feel that way. The halacha has to be made in terms of the societal situation. What an individual feels, he has to search into his own soul, and then he has to make a decision based upon that. You know what I mean? One second, he has to make a decision based upon that. Reb Tarfon was a personal decision. It's a menamra was a personal thing. See? Yisachar Zvon is not on a societal level. If a person will privately will go over and make a deal with somebody and he wants to have a chelik of the story, he wants to support him, then that's Yisachar Zvon. Yismach Zvon b'tzeisecha v'yisachar bo'alecha. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Ram doesn't deny that. That definitely is mutter. See? And you have to understand the Rambam, and also it has nothing to do with any type of emotional situation. The person has a vision of a poor Talmud Chacham. There's nothing to do with that. But see, the Rambam says that the Talmud Chacham was a millionaire. And he wouldn't pay the taxes, and the pauper, the guy who doesn't have the money, has to pay the taxes. Why? Because according to halacha, that's the way it is. He's not doing anything that's wrong in terms of the societal structure. He's not the great Torah. He's wealthy, very good, he's wealthy. So what? Nothing wrong with it. You see? It has to do with the structure of society. That's what the important thing is. See? That's the way the halacha is based. The personal, the Talmud Chacham has to know himself. That's his thing. Matana says, Talmid Chacham sold him matanos, they wouldn't take money from anybody. And the Rambam himself was supported by his brother. That's Midas Chassidus. That's not a halach anymore. It's Midas Chassidus, different area. Okay. You have to distinguish between the halachic system and between the Midas Chassidus. Two different categories. That's the Rambam. So now, I'll ask you to think about what the situation is with the yeshivas. This man is there. I think of it for a week. According to the Rambam Shita, we view the situation, should be done with the situation of Torah. What should be done with the situation of Torah? Bizman Hazeh. That's what you should think about. That's why it's broken down into two categories. So that's why he says, V'loma And he says, So if he says, why should I go on further? He says, however, I want to mention this story that's mentioned in the Gemara. And from there to the end, it's almost as much as he did up to there. I mean, it's a tremendous amount. He says, Vlam Arach. So we said that the Pshat is the Rambam over there. Umnam is he's discussing a different aspect. He's discussing the personal aspect. That anyone who utilizes Torah as a means for the material, so that individual, insofar as his mind, insofar as his own value system is concerned, is corrupt. Right? And before, he's talking about with regard to people. With regard to people, okay. In other words, the question, one question is with regard to Chilul Hashem, and the second question is with regard to the person's own own level, how it affects the soul. That's the second half. Yeah, that's interesting. I was just thinking, you know, what does the Rambam mean with this part of the Lashon? He has what he says. He mentions, first of all, he says at the end, what does he say? Talmud Chacham does have certain rights. Talmud Chacham does have certain rights. What is one of them? One of them is, well, he mentions that they don't have to pay any taxes. They don't have to pay any taxes. Other people have to pay taxes. And that's a special right of a Talmud Chacham, even if he's a very wealthy man. His father, Torah gave him that right. He doesn't have to pay taxes. So even if he's a millionaire and the other people are paupers, they have to pay the tax for him. Okay. It's a special right. That's a right like a train has or a levy has. It's built into the system. Now, that's one thing he says. What? Also, the Rambam says that it's mutter. And it's mutter for the Talmud Chacham to give his money to others, right? That they should do invest for him, and then he could reap the profits. He says, why? Why? Because he says that. He says it shouldn't be better. He says people do this for business partners also. Like they have a good investment, so they'll use the other person's money and they'll invest and buy him from stocks. They know the stocks are good. They'll invest for him and they'll give him the profit. So he says, so a Talmud Chacham should not be inferior to a good friend. That's what he says. Leos kamor is nechbad. So Talmud Chacham could be like a respectable Amoritz. I mean, so the question is, what kind of thing is this? I mean, where does he draw the line? I mean, if you're not supposed to use Torah, that's where you're not supposed to use Torah. So why? What do you mean he's allowed to? Just because he's a Talmud Chacham. By the way, I mean, if somebody, for instance, let's say somebody was a friend of Rav Moshe, and he made an investment for him. So would you say that would go under the category of Talmud Chacham? See, I would say no. What the Rambam's talking about is where the person does it not because he's his friend, but because he's a Talmud Chacham. The person does it for a friend, it's a different story. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a different story. If he does it out of friendship, that's not the issur. The issur is to do it for a Talmud Chacham. I mean, let's say a person has a friend who's struggling. He goes over and gives him $100,000. Any issur in that? There's no issur. He's doing it as a friend. What the Rambam's talking about is Mishtamesh B'Tago means he uses the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham to extract money from people. That's an issur. Rambam is talking about it insofar as he's a Talmud Chacham. And the fact that Talmud Chacham was not Megareah in general. But getting back to this Rambam, so the Rambam is talking about the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham. And he says, a person doesn't know Rav Moshe, doesn't know the man. And he's allowed to invest money and give him the profits. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham shouldn't be inferior too, you know, Morris Nichbot. I mean, he's utilizing the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham. We're not talking about a friend. We're talking about a person who's just doing it because Ramesh is a great Talmud Chacham, and that's why he's investing for him. Doesn't know them, doesn't know them at all. Isn't Rav Meisha utilizing the fact that isn't he utilizing his Torah? I mean, what's the difference? Shouldn't be worse than an Amaretz Nechbar. And what does that mean? It shouldn't be worse than an Amaretz Nechbar. It's a funny thing. Shouldn't be worse than an Amaretz that's respectable. Well, what's it got to do with it? He can't utilize Torah, he can't utilize it. What difference does it make? You understand what I'm asking you? It's an Isser, it's an Isser. See what the Ram talks about? The Ram is like this. He says, Vamna Madvar Masheri Tira Samatar Latamchach Masheri Tira Isamatar Latamchach, which is a heter. Who she yitna mamainam lardam lasses by Schaira in Yitze? Vaisese Yeshlis Chagadal Vala Olav. Vizel Matum Aloi Lakishal Tamachacham. Right? So that's one of the things that you're allowed to do. Tom Chacham is allowed accepted. Why is he allowed accepted? I mean, the man is making use of the Torah. What's the difference? He says, because people do this for an Amaret as Nechbad. So what? That's not why they're doing it for him. Rambam would have said the reason is because. He said the reason is because. Good point. Rich is saying that. I mean, he's not doing anything wrong, because the fact is that it's his own investment, right? But it's an interesting thing. The Rambam says that he shouldn't be inferior to a respectable Amaretz. It's funny reasoning. I mean, the Rambam should say, look, the fellow didn't benefit him. It was his own investment. That's it. Why does the Rambam say that he shouldn't be inferior to a respectable Amaretz? It's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting formulation. I mean, why did you say that? Moreover, I'd like to understand also why it is really that you have a Talmud Chacham that's a millionaire. I mean, and everybody has to pay his taxes. Let's understand it. Ram says, okay, this is a chok. This is right. But why should it be that way? Why should it be that way? Yeah, I mean, why should it be that way? And the Rimbagash Paskin, this fellow was a stingy Talmud Chacham, it seems. He didn't want to pay the money. Rimbagash said he's right. Doesn't have to pay it. Question of dinner over there. Yeah, there's another thing. If you take a look in the beginning of the Ram, I want you to just listen to the Lashon Ram and try to tell me what you think he means. See what the Ram says to Elias. He says, yeah. He says that they never collected money for the yeshivas in those days. And he says, V'chalila li lachshar adara sahim shahim lo hayu gomle chesed. V'nos ne tzedaka. Ani yahu ili poshet yada lakachas hayam amalam beseh zov upaninim. If you want to accept it, they'd fill up his house with gold and precious stones. Ela shlo hayu rotsa. Aval hayu mestapik bim lachto shayam esparnes bo. In berevach in bedechek. See? He wouldn't say, he looked down, he frowned upon taking money from other people. The Lazakin was very poor. Okay, I agree with you. Here's the guy that used to draw the water from the well. What is the Rambam? What's the whole underlying theme of this Rambam, really? What's the whole underlying theme of this Rambam? I mean, okay, the Rambam's really trying to point out that you see that they wouldn't accept any money from the people in their generation, even though they definitely could have given it to them. Yeah. But what is the Rambam trying to point out? The Rambam's trying to point out there's something in between the lines over here. Well, he mentions that he then he goes to the story where the Who was it used to carry the wood from one place to another? What is the idea? The idea is like this. The idea is one thing. That there is... See, there's a pasuk in Mishlei. Interesting pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says like this. Toiv nikra ve'eved lo mimiskabe v'chasa alocha. What does it mean? Tov nikra ve'eved lo. A person is better off who is small in his eyes. Mimiskabe v'chasa alocha. Than a person who is respectable and doesn't have what to eat. Alright? What does the pasuk mean? What does the pasuk mean? The pasuk means that there's a certain type of ego that expresses itself in the inability of a person to work. That's what it means. Tov nikla ve'eved lo. It's better that a person should look at himself as an eved, not be respectable. Mimiskabed v'chasar locham. What does it mean, mimiskabed? Mimiskabed. Mimiskabed means that the person views himself with great respect, has pride. V'chasar locham, and he has nothing to eat. So mimiskabed be'ena v'aymer ginayhu, Rashi says. Ginayhu li lamo b'malacha. Sh'ani mibnei odom gedolim. See? V'sofa li es chasar locham. Rashi says that there's a certain emotional expression that a human being has with regard to work, that there's an ego, just like there's a work ethic, there's an ego that is an anti-work ego. That's a Rashi. Miskabe lachasal lachan, it's a pasuk. So the Rambam, what the Rambam is telling you about these Chazal is that wasn't their frame of reference. See, they never felt that to work is degrading. Takes those examples from physical labor. Physical labor, the Rambam says. Tanoim, guy would move wood from one place to another. That was a job. What do you mean? I mean, what do people say about that today? What do people say about that today? If they say, that may be terrible. The Dollar Dog's going to do a menial labor, load a truck up. And say, what kind of a thing is this? Right? See? We laugh because it sounds funny to us. But that's a certain, that's really what the Rambam is saying. That idea is against what the Yadus maintains. Okay. So what does Yadus maintain, really? What is the idea that Yadus maintains? That the Talmud Chacham is not outside the realm of work. He's not outside the realm of work. So therefore, for that reason, that's why the Talmud Chacham, that's what the Rambam says, that the Talmud Chacham should not be inferior to an Am Haaretz Nechbad. What does it mean? He shouldn't be inferior to an Am Haaretz Nechbad. It means that he cannot have a status that's outside the realm of work. Who has the status like that? Really? The Kayan. Kahanim and Levim have that status. But the Talmud Chacham cannot have that status. And that's why is it that he's putter from taxes? It's a universal thing. It's putter from taxes. Because putter from taxes does not mean you're outside the realm of work. See? What they tried to do for the Talmud Chacham was, all these things, it says, they let somebody invest their money for him, and what else, what are the other things? And he sells first in the shuk. See? Yeah, he gets the best spot. When he comes with a scar, Talmud Chacham will come with a scar in the shuk. So what they do, they move away, they let him sell, he's finished. He gets finished in an hour or two, he goes back to learn. I mean, so he asks me, yes, sure, that's a wonderful thing. I mean, well, he's using Torah there, isn't he utilizing Torah? The answer is, he's utilizing Torah only within, the halacha isn't that the Talmud Chacham shouldn't be benefited. That's not what the Torah was trying to do. What is the purpose of all the halachas? It's one thing, that he's not mufka from the realm of work. That's what it is. See? He's not mufka from the realm of work. But within that framework, he gets every benefit. Within that framework, he's excluded. He's not excluded from the realm of work. But within that framework, he gets every benefit. That's why the Rambam says that. That he's, that lo yehi, he shouldn't be inferior to a person, an Amar's Nechbot. What does it mean, Amar's Nechbot? An Amar's Nechbot is not outside the realm of work. See? So he also is not allowed to be outside that realm. Taxes is not considered because taxes is an extraneous thing. Taxes is an extraneous thing. It's imposed by the government. from the outside. So that is that is Potiphar. The realm of work, the Kohanim and Levim. You got a realm over here. The last Rambam, Yud Beis, and Hilchos Shemitah V'Yevah. Rambam's like this. V'lom alo zocha levi b'nachmas Eretz Yisrael u'b'bizoso em echov b'nei shehuvdal lavoras Hashem l'shorso u'lehoros drochav ha'yesharim u'mashpat v'atzadikim l'rab mishnem ha'yor mishpatecha li'yakov as'aresko li'yisrael l'fikach. He says, therefore, huvdalu midarke ha'ola, they're separated from all the ways of the world. Lo orchim milchama, they don't wage war. Kishar Yisrael, v'lo nochalin, v'lo zochim la'atzman b'koach gufan. What does Rambam say? V'lo zochim la'atzman b'koach gufan. What does that mean? How do you translate it? They are not permitted to gain anything, any benefit through manual labor, expenditure of energy, physical energy, expenditure of physical energy. Interesting thing, huh? Elohim chel Hashem shenemar boruch Hashem chelo v'hu boruch hu zocha lehem shenemar ani chel kuchov nachal ascha. What? If you have, for instance, a stipend for a scholar, so you're telling me a stipend for a scholar is also, he's studying and they're paying him. That's not the same thing. It's not the same framework as somebody who works. He's not considered a worker. It's considered as if this person's studying, and they're supporting him. See? That's the way it's viewed. That's the way precisely it had to be viewed with regard to Shevet Levi. That's what Ram says. V'lei Shevet Levi b'vad. Not only Shevet Levi. Interesting Rama. Ela kol ish ve'ish mikol boy olam. Any individual. Asher nodva rucho azo. Ve'vino mado li bodel lama lefnei Hashem. Whose spirit drew him, whose spirit uplifted her. And his knowledge gave him to understand, to separate, and to stand before God, to work, to serve him. Right. L'das Hashem. V'holach Yashur, says, and he went straight. Kimosh Yasor Lakim, apart me al Tzavara, all the Cheshbonas of Rabbim, and he got rid of all these different all the Cheshbonas of Rabbim. What Rabbim means, by all the Cheshbonas of Rabbim means, that the people have all these different things that they want in life, they need in life. This, that, all these different aspirations. Materialistic aspirations. So he got rid of that. He says, "Asher bikshu bnei Adam, harezin eskadosh kodesh kedoshim, v'yashem chalka v'nachalosu l'olam olam yolam." The Nazilius, the Yizakelo b'olam hazeh dovar maspiklo, k'moshe zochel kahanim alvim. That God will give this person something that will suffice for his needs in this world, just like the kahanim and alvim. So Ram says, it's not just kahanim and alvim, but it's also apparently who, Talmud Chacham. But yet there's a tremendous difference. Tremendous difference between the Talmud Chacham and between the Kahanim and Levim. Why? Because the Kahanim, even though the Ram puts it in the same framework. It's an interesting thing. The Ram puts it in the same framework, but there's a tremendous difference. Why? Because by the Kahanim and the Levim, they're not allowed to be included in the framework of a worker. Whereas by the Talmud Chacham it's just the opposite. He's not allowed to be excluded. And all the benefits that were given to him were given to him to make it easier for him so that he could be in learning, but nevertheless he wasn't allowed to be above the working. Whereas the Shevet Levi is exactly the opposite. They're not allowed to be involved in work. It's an interesting differentiation. Yet the Rambam says there's a common denominator. What's the common denominator is that they're both really practically speaking, they're both free from external obligations so that they can be involved in a higher form of activity. I mean, yeah, that's common in both. Yet, they're completely differentiated. Remarkable thing. It is really. Let's understand what's the reason why it is. It's true. I mean, we're saying there's a benefit to the society they can identify with Talmid Chacham. It's true. But there has to, I think there's something more than that. What's really the reason why? The difference is, I agree with you. What you're saying is that there's, the difference is that one is an institution. One is an institution. In other words, the Kohen and Levi are set up as an institution for Avodas Hashem. It's an interesting thing. The Ram doesn't emphasize that Avodas based on Nefesh so much. He says Lasharso. That includes it. But he essentially says Ulahoros Drachav Hayisharim Umishpatav Hatzadikim Larabim Shenema Yeru Mishpatech LeYakov Esarascha LeYisrael. So what does the Ram really concentrate on? Limud Torah, right? Lefikach Huvdulu Midakei Olam Lo Orchin Molchama Kesher Yisovelo Nochalim Lo Zochim LaAtzman Bekoch Gufan Elohim Chel Hashem Shenema Baruch Hashem Chelo. Right? Lo Baruch Zochalim Shenema Nicha Kachav Nachloscha. So apparently what the Rambam holds is that it is good for society. On the contrary, it is good for society to recognize that people are on a level where they're set off. They're outside the working circle, and they deserve to be, because they're Chel Hashem. Right? You understand what I mean? On the contrary, it would seem clear that this idea should really penetrate society. That there are people who are on a tremendously high level, and these people are Chel Hashem, and work is degrading. You cannot use them for work because they're cut out for a much higher purpose. You see? So isn't that what the Rambam says? What does it mean? Is inferior. Dake Olam will look down upon that. Lo Archam Alchama v'lo Zochin Latzma v'Kach Gufan. It's an inferior type of thing. So on the contrary, you see that the real philosophy of Torah is that there's a higher activity. And this higher, people should respect this higher activity, and they shouldn't allow these people to work, because if they allow them to work, then you're not recognizing the importance of their position. Right? That's why it seems clear. That seems clear cut from this Rambam, right? So if that's the case, so why can't the Talmud Chacham also? And the Rambam essentially includes the Talmud Chacham at the end, because he says at the end that the Talmud Chacham v'lo yishev alev levad. He gets the Talmud Chacham in there too, you see, but not the same way, because you see from this Rambam over here in the country that there are Yisurim on the Talmud Chacham. Why are there Yisurim on the Talmud Chacham? That's what we have to understand. You see, what I'm saying is like this: what becomes clear from comparing these Rambams, the Rambam in the Avos and the Rambam in the end of the Shemitah and Yevil and the Yad HaChazaka, one thing we can say: if you just looked at the Rambam over here, you would think that there would be something wrong for society to respect a certain group and should place them above the working circle. That's not right. No, from the Rambam, that's what you say, right? From the Rambam, you see on the contrary, it is right. And philosophically, it's correct. What could be more correct philosophically? That people should recognize that there's a higher level. Right? So what's the reason why the Talmud Chacham can't? Apparently the Talmud Chacham can't. There's some reason why he's not allowed to. Why isn't he allowed to? What's the answer? There's one answer. It should be obvious. What's the answer? Why is not allowed to? What's the answer? And therefore what? And therefore it means it's personal gain. That's why. Because the Talmud Chacham would appear like personal gain. So it would appear as if he's utilizing terror for his personal gain. That would be worse. No. The Levi is a system. It's an institution. An institution is different. There's an institution which is set up, and this institution, you're not going to look at the Levi and say, hey, this man is making use of Torah. No, this is a part of the system. He's part of a system. He's part of an institution that was set up. He was born into this institution. See? That's why it has to be congenital. It depends upon his birthright. But a Talmud Chacham, no. Because a Talmud Chacham would appear as if this individual is making use of his Torah. He's exploiting Torah. And that the Torah couldn't allow. So So, why? Because exploiting Torah would be the worst possible, that would be the worst possible outcome. You understand? There's really three levels. The best is where people have recognition for a higher form of activity. See? That's the highest level. Then there's a situation where a person is recognizes the working situation. But the worst is the exploitation of Torah. That would be the worst. To exploit Torah would be the worst. That's what Talmud Chacham was. There's an Isser. Actually, it was an Isser on the Talmud Chacham. And if you look at the Lashon HaRambam, you'll see. The Rambam says this was mutter for him to do. And he says they wouldn't take it. Why wouldn't they take it? It was an Isser. What's the Isser? It looks like you're exploiting Torah. If it's an institution, that's good. An institution is good. But personal is an Isser. Exploiting Torah. That's the Isser. Interesting formulation, huh?
There's an analogy between
you set up the Torah society. When yes and when no. What the how careful this system was constructed to make sure that those who are who benefit by the system don't get the wrong ideas. On the contrary, they should get the right idea. That's Shevet Levi. That's Shevet Levi. So it's not a birthright. If it's something which is individual, so then it looks like exploiting.
Unfortunately.
See, the Rambam, I want to tell you one thing though. What the Rambam says is, the Rambam says that God will take care of the Talmud Chacham. That's the Aftach of Shevet Levi. So the Talmud Chacham also really is freed. Essentially, Talmud Chacham is free because it says God will take care of him, so that means he's free. Ram gives Aftacha, means it's, that's the way it is. So he really is free. But the only thing is, he's freed in a different way. He's the form and of the way he's freed is not the same as the Sheva Levi. That he can't do. That's only Sheva Levi. And doesn't the Rama mention that the Machukim Shekova LaMashem Yisbarach Kimo Shekova HaMatanos LaKohen UMaisros LaLevi LaFima Shebola Kabbalah. Talmud Chacham also has certain. See what the Rambam says? The Rambam says that they also have certain rights, just like the Kohen and Levi have. But there's a big difference between the two. That they frowned on work, frowned upon work. You know, the ancient Greek philosophers. And of course, the work ethic today is very much against that. The question is, what position does the other take? Essentially, agrees that there's a higher form of activity. Sure. We recognize there's a higher level of activity, and society must recognize this, but it cannot be on a personal level, because why can't it be on a personal level? Because of the danger of exploitation. It shouldn't appear as exploitation. If it would work, it would be a degradation to the institution of Kuna. Questions like this. What would you say about the Rambam's mindset? As you know, I mean all Gedolei Yisrael, excluding none. Have really not upheld this Rama. I mean, nobody. As a matter of fact, I think Rav Moshe Tshuva says anyone that tries to do that tzasi etzahara, doesn't he? Yeah. All right. Not that the Rama has to worry about Rav Moshe, but but he holds that the hells doesn't apply. Nobody has accepted this. The question is, let's just forget about the fact that no one has accepted this, because this wasn't a popular thing in the time of the Rambam either. See?
You're going against the whole nature of man.
Question is, what would you say, Bisman Hazeh, with regard to what the Rambam's talking about? So you can't charge for Tashu Bapa. You can charge him for teaching him Chumash. But you can't charge him for Tashu Bapa. You can charge him for teaching him other things. But you can teach him the translation, you can charge him. But you can't charge him for the ideas of Torah. Yeah, you could say, look, it's impossible. It's impossible. Leis l'asos Hashem. All right. What? Impossible. Leis l'asos Hashem. Fair Torah Zachi. You don't have any yeshivas. Obviously, I mean, that's true. I mean, if you're going to have, if Chrysler gets to a situation where they weren't allowed to write down Torah Shabbat, they weren't allowed to write this Ramadan. So why do they do it? Because otherwise it'd be lost. So naturally, if you see, Gedolim see the situation is such that if there's no support for yeshivas, that there's not going to be any continuation of Torah, then definitely even Ram would agree, it's impossible. I mean, there's no purpose in Eis Las Lashem means where the whole system's going to fail, so obviously there's no purpose in keeping a perfection of the system when the whole system's going to be lost. Right. Okay. So the Rambam seemed to think that this, the Rambam seemed to think in his day that it could be done otherwise. So you could justify the Gedolim today by saying that the Eis Las is Lashem. I mean, and a big argument can be brought in favor of that. I don't think there's any question about it. Especially today, you see, you have to understand something. That in the society that the Rambam was in, it was basically a society of Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs. So the society like the society of Chazal. So then, how did it work? Let me bring in another point. See, there's one more. I think there's one more point before we get to this idea of Eis Las Hashem. Before we bring it in, there's one more point I think that's important. The Rambam is talking about what kind. What's the Rambam talking about? Taking money for what?
Really?
Taking money for what? For Torah, which means for sitting and learning. That's what Rambam's talking about. The Rambam is not talking about taking money for doing anything else than sitting and learning. And that's the way in the time of the Rambam what they would take money for. See? Actually, what the Rambam is talking about is like a kollel situation. Kollel. A person sits and learns and takes money for it. That's the Rambam was against.
Just as anything else.
What the Rambam means, essentially, is taking money for Torah because you're a Talmud Chacham. You're not going out of your way. You're just a Talmud Chacham. However, I don't think anybody today would say that they're paying a Rosh Yeshiva, you see, to sit and learn. But they're sitting and learning. That's what they're paying it for. It's not true. Because the truth of the matter is that if you pay a... Yeah, you have a Rebbe, for instance. You have a Rebbe that's giving a class. And what are the parents, what is the society paying them for? He's sitting and learning? In other words, I mean, in the normal situation, how does it work? A person learns. First he goes, he learns from a Rebbeim. Then he learns with Chavarissas, and then he has Talmidim. Right? Now, are they paying this man because he's, they're supporting him because he's learning? There's no question about it. They're supporting him because he's involved personally with the fellows in the yeshiva he's teaching or in his class, you see. They're supporting him, they're giving him money. Why are they paying a teacher? They're paying a teacher because the teacher's sitting and learning. And they're paying a teacher for administration. They don't care. Do they care about the teacher's learning? They're not interested in the teacher sitting and learning. They have absolutely no, personal, he wants to learn. They're not paying him for that. They're paying him for his the way he controls a class, you see, his mastery as a teacher. It's a service. That is not, according to the way I understand the Rambam, that is not what the Rambam is talking about. In other words, the Rambam is talking about taking money for Talmud Torah, for the institution of Talmud Torah, which means the natural way that a person would learn according to the way the Torah set it up. How would a person learn naturally? He learns, first he learns from the Bain, he learns B'chavrus, and then he has Talmidim. See? But he is not, we're not speaking about a person, you understand, who's going out of his way to help a Talmud, because a Talmud has a problem. That is no chiyuv to do for nothing. See? Now, anyone that supports a yeshiva, see, or supports a yeshiva today, is not supporting people that are sitting and learning. I don't believe that that's what they're doing. I don't believe they're giving money so this person can sit and learn. They're giving money because the person's involved in working with Talmidim. Now, working with Talmidim, you see, which is means dealing with the personal problems and making sure that the situation is such where the building doesn't catch on fire, whatever it is. I mean, you know, all the practicalities is not, that's not Torah. That's not Torah. Torah today is viewed in a different way. It is viewed like an institution. An institution which is used for the purpose of bringing about a certain result. You see? Just like, for instance, I'd compare it to, university or something. Right? It's a different framework. It's not for the individual's personal learning. Nobody's supporting an individual so he could be a Rosh Yeshiva, he could sit and learn himself. That's not the idea. Supporting him because he's doing a service. The service involves Habatz HaTorah. See? Now, Habatz HaTorah means, for instance, the Rambam used to lecture in philosophy. Took money for it. Shiur wouldn't take the money for it. The tire itself is not allowed to. But today, I don't think that the framework is such that people are paying for Torah. What they're paying for is services. Services is outside the institution of what the Rambam is talking about. Why? People are paying you for a service, not for the Torah itself. So then you cannot say that they're benefactors of Torah per se. I mean, it's a service. It's a service. Okay. Now, I'll tell you, why is it so? Why is that so, really? Why the change? The question is, why the difference? The difference is, I believe, because of the situation that we live in. It ties in really with Eis L'Asav Hashem also. Because the point is, the situation is such that today, it's not a matter of just letting the system ride. Let the system ride the way it is. No, it's not true. Because if you don't have yeshivas, so you take a look at the situation. I mean, you're talking about a kid in Houston, Texas that goes to a yeshiva, not the pshat, you made a Talmud Chacham out of him. The pshat is you saved him from intermarriage. You know? I mean, Klal Yisrael is in a situation where there's very, very few that are having a shaykhus to the nucleus of a Torah. So something, first of all, must be done in order to improve that situation. It's a matter of atzals nefashos, number one. And the way it must be done involves certain, more than just Talmud Torah. It involves more than just Talmud Torah. You're not going to get anything. You're not going to get anywhere. If you know how to learn and you have Talmud, you're going to sit down and learn. You're not going to get anywhere today. You're not going to be able to accomplish anything. Why? Because you have to deal with a situation which has an illness incorporated in it. The people, you have to be able to reach a person through all the psychological problems that he has. To get through in order to show him what the straight life is. This isn't just, you're not going to get there just giving a shit. You're not going to reach anybody that way. See? Talmud Torah alone, you're not going to be successful with. So it involves other skills. Psychological knowledge. It involves certain talents in related people, certain skills, it's a whole different department. And since that's the case, I don't think that people today are supporting Torah per se. They're supporting a program which involves many skills and knowledge that has nothing to do with a person learning himself. It's not a cerebral thing. A kol, yes. A kol is if a person pays an individual to sit and learn, you see, a kol institution, that's what the Rambam's talking about. Today's kol would be the case that the Rambam is talking about. Yeah. Say that it's necessary because you can't, if you don't have a kol, you're not going to produce the level of Talmud Chacham. You're not going to be able to say it's Eis L'Asav Hashem. That's Eis L'Asav. Yeah, that's right. That's what they hold. They hold it doesn't apply because Eis L'Asav Hashem. But I'm saying more than that. I'm not talking about that. That's something else. But I'm saying that even in the situation itself, it's a totally different situation today. They're not paying guys to learn. The Rambam's talking about mishtamish b'taga cholav means that the person just sits and learns, just because he's a Talmud Chacham. That's what it means. So that's exploitation. I'm a Talmud Chacham, so they're giving me money. That's exploiting Torah. But if they're giving you money for services, for the way you relate to people, for psychological knowledge, for personal skills, that's what the pain for. That has nothing to do with Torah. Nothing to do with it. It's not mishtamish b'taga. You know what I mean? Different yeshivas. In those days, the Rambam was talking about in the society of Chazal, it was talking about different yeshivas because it was a totally different situation. Yeah, he's sitting and learning. I mean, Hillel, you understand, when Hillel learned, or Yechon and Mezakeh learned by Hillel, Hillel didn't have to go over them and try to straighten him out emotionally. I mean, try to work on the problems that he has in terms of motivation. So, it's a different type of situation. He sat and learned. Listen to the shiur. The society was such. Everybody wasn't a Talmud Chacham in those days. You had a society that kept the system of Torah. Some people had a desire for learning. They were drawn to it. They became scholars. The other not. That's all. Torah's made. Everybody doesn't have to be Talmud Chacham. But today, it's a different situation. Today, it's not a matter of Talmud Chacham. It's a matter of saving the guy's life. He's going to be intermarried. He's lost the Klal Yisrael. And because of that situation, what you're dealing with is certain skills and technical skills and knowledge which are necessary in order to reach a, in order to reach somebody, not to bring them the Torah. That's not, you're not getting paid for your Torah. You're getting, you're going out and you're doing something that has nothing to do with your personal learning. See? Nothing to do with it. Anyone, I would say, and I can't say, anyone today that wants to go into Chinuch for personal learning should stay out of it. Because first of all, he won't achieve his goal, and secondly, he's going to ruin others. There's no business being there. So it requires a certain type of skill today to be, and that skill, getting paid for that skill, is not Torah at all. Not Torah, has nothing to do with the Rama. Nothing whatsoever. I'll say that. I mean, if a person could be in a situation where he can earn his livelihood and just do chinuch gratis, I mean, that's a tremendous kind of thing. I mean, it means that may have made a tremendous impression because of that. I mean, that's a separate thing. That's outside the realm of this. Yisachar Zvon was definitely mutter, and the Ram himself did it.
So why not?
Because the Ram's brother was a businessman and he was learning.
So
that's a separate thing. Money for Kol. They're raising money for Kol. The Ram said, "Lay him a cup some money." Now, to raise money for Kol, the old would be us. That's the case in the Ram. But like I said, I mean, all the Dolim all against us because of the fact that they lost us. I'm not belittling that point. Private arrangements, that's Yisachar Zvon. The Ram himself took money. His brother went to work. And so his brother died over there because he got caught in the accident in the ship. He was working and he was supporting the Rambam. That's when the Rambam became a doctor. Because the Rambam didn't work before that. That's a separate thing. That's Yisachar Zvon. It's a personal arrangement. It's a private arrangement that has nothing to do with this. The Rambam is talking over here in terms of the system. He says, but a private arrangement, an individual makes up with somebody else, it's a doesn't
know. So in other words, the guy...
It's a public thing. A private Yisachar Zvon is a different story. But there you're not exploiting Torah. Somebody wants to invest in your Torah, it's his own private thing, something else. But you have no right of claim to utilize your Torah, you see, as a means to attain money. It so happens that somebody that is willing his mutter, so why does the Rambam say that in those days that they wouldn't take any money from the people? I mean, so why wouldn't the people... help them in terms of Yisachar's wound arrangement. He says the door was. The Rambam says he can't belittle that door. It was a very high door. They definitely would. They fill them up with their money if they wanted it, right? Apparently, it's a higher door than our door today. So why is it that they wouldn't make an arrangement of Yisachar's wound arrangement? You see. Answer to that is less Rambam and Hochas Chiyamata. The Rambam says Hatzadikim Hagemurim Va'anshem Maisa. Highest level. Lo yikablu matana me adam. They wouldn't accept a gift from any person. Elabotchem b'Hashem baruch shemo lo benedivim. V'arenema v'sonei matanas yichya. So the Ram says that that's midas chasidus, not an isser. It's midas chasidus that they would not take anything from anybody. See? So what the Rambam mentions over here about Hillel. Really, the truth of the matter is, Rambam is mentioning on two fronts. The Rambam is speaking. First of all, that they wouldn't ask for any money, because that's wrong. That's exploitation. See. And secondly, they were on a level that they recognized that real perfection, in terms of real perfection, even to accept would be wrong. You see, even to accept. That's what the Rambam says over there. Rambam says that.